There was this video circulated in the internet about a drunkard man and the man and his companion. They were passing by Planter's Box at the counter restaurant, in front of counter restaurant. Whatever thought he had, the stupid drunkard stopped and kicked the Planter's Box. And then he lifted the Planter's Box and tried to smash to the building, but his feet slipped and he lost his balance, fell into the ground, and the Planter's Box at the counter restaurant released its counter strike. What? It covered the drunkard with dirt. That's the counter strike of the Planter's Box. Such undesirable situation practically show that careless behavior can be detrimental and not very pleasant. Sometimes we've got into troubles because of careless attitude, reckless decisions, and oblivious activities. Do you have any regret in life because of something you were not, if something you did that you were not supposed to do, or something you were supposed to do that you did not do? Let's reflect on Psalm 91, verse 14 to 16. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Well, we cannot turn back the hands of time. We cannot travel backward in time to the past. We may regret something we should have done. We may regret something we should not have done. But we painfully learn from what we consider as reckless or hasty judgment on our part. Well, the Lord knows that sometimes we are careless. Sometimes we are reckless. Sadly, we can mindlessly make mistakes and regrets. But the Bible says, if we love him, if we love the Lord promises to rescue us. Can you go back to verse 14? Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. Look at that. He will protect us from unexpected result of mistake. We may make mistakes, but he will rescue us. King David understand that very well. He had his own mistakes, but the Lord rescued him. One of the mistakes of David was that he promised to give the position of being commander of his army, of the army of Israel. He said, anyone who can conquer the Jerusalem, he will be the commander. And his nephew, the son of his sister, Zeruiah, Joab, conquered Jerusalem. And he gave the position of being commander of the army to Joab. And Joab many times did something that David did not order him. He decided on his own, but he just cannot. He cannot remove him from that position, being the commander of the army, because he promised. He did not want to break his promise. And that is, but the Lord kept David safe from the hand of reckless Joab. So to embrace the promises of Christ, our God, of the Lord, we remain in Him. We need to remain in Him so that we will be able to experience, or we can be sure that He would do His promises. Let's read again verse 25 of our passage. Now about a virgin, now about virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who, by the Lord's mercy, is trustworthy. Verse 26, because of the present crisis, I think that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Now, previously, Apostle Paul advised the unmarried, the widows, the married people, including the slave. He advised them to remain in situation they are in when God called them. And the virgins, he also advised that it is good for a man to remain as he is. He did not say that it is better choice. He did not say that it is the best choice to remain a virgin. Meaning, to remain a virgin or to be married, they are both good choices, personal choices, because of the present crisis. What is the present crisis at that time? What was the present crisis all about? Previously, Apostle Paul addressed the problem of immorality in the church of Corinth. In the church of Corinth, they were divided on how they would deal with the problem of immorality. And they were not advancing the mission purpose of the church. The mission purpose of the church, the transformational work of Christ in their lives, in the life of believers, was not shining brightly in the Corinthian church. And Apostle Paul suggested that it is good for a man to remain as he is. He implied that virgins can focus in the furtherance of the kingdom of God to testify of the transformational work of God in their life. Instead of spending much time searching for someone they may marry. Have you heard of the name Lutimon? Lutimon. Lutimon has become a legend in the international missions. Lutimon was a missionary to China. Actually, Lutimon followed the example of her youngest sister, Edmonia Moon. Edmonia Moon went to mission. She was one of the two single ladies who were sent to mission in 1872. So a year after, Lutimon followed Edmonia to China. Edmonia was very sick. After a few years, he left mission to the U.S. For good. But Lutimon persevered from 1873 to her death in 1912, that is more or less 39 years of mission work. While in China, she sent letters to the Western world. She challenged Christians to support mission, sent support to missions, because she observed many missionaries in China who were struggling for support. And the Lutimon Christmas offering for international missions was named for her. Lutimon was one of the servants of God who focused on storing up much eternal treasure in heaven for themselves and never married. Who may presume that serving the Lord a single person could be lonely? Someone wrote that Lutimon experienced difficult hardship in missions, but she was driven by the joy of knowing she was fulfilling God's purposes on her life. If you sense that sadness, loneliness in your life, pray that you may be able to fulfill the purposes of God in your life. If you are not doing yet or not participating in the purpose that God designed for you, you would sense that emptiness. It seems like there's something I want to do that I do not do. What is it? It is the purpose of God in your life. Together, let's meditate and reflect on what it declares in Psalm 100, verse 1 to 3. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. We are his people. Worship is the ultimate goal of our existence. Worship God, to worship God, that is our ultimate goal of our existence. If life is not focused on worshiping God, that is when we sense that emptiness. We exist to worship God. Can you agree? God save us. Our response is to worship him with gladness. Do you have gladness in worshiping God? The ordinary idea of worship is to gather together every Sunday and worship and sing praises to the Lord. Sing to the Lord of the things he has done in our life. That is the ordinary idea. Let's go to church and worship God. But why do you go to church? Why do you worship God? Is there something you are to worship God? Praising God with songs as expression of gratitude and gladness and appreciation of God's work in our life should be frequent on our part every single day, not just Sunday. When you go out, when you wake up, wow, Lord, thank you, I'm alive. Thank you for a new day. And that is already worship. You worship God. You remember that God is faithful to you. Think about it for a while. Parents, you praise your children. Wow, you're so good. When your children sing, wow, you have a nice voice. When your children draw something scribbled, even if you cannot sell those pictures that your children draw, you say, you are so good, and you like it, you appreciate it. If your children cook something, and you taste it, it's good, even if they do not accept in the restaurant, but you taste it, it's good, you praise, wow, you are so good. You like it, you praise your children. And children praise their parents. When parents did something worthy of praise, or your friends praise your friends, praise friends when friends did something worthy of praise. What is something you did that your parents, your siblings, your children, your friends praise about you? What is it? If you remember, what did you do that your parents would say, yeah, you're good, that's nice. Maybe some parents are not very quick to praise, but maybe they are not so verbal in saying praise, but you know that, you sense that they are so glad, sense that gladness in their hearts that you did something great. Even if they did not say, you are so good. How about your parents? You know, one of the many things I would like to do is to cook. When my family would eat what I cook, I am flattered. But if you don't like to eat what I cook, well, I just eat what I cook. But truly, right? Did you feel that? Parents, when you are cooking and your children would say, wow, this is so good. You just sense that that fluttering feeling in deep inside you. Regularly, we gather every week to praise and worship the Lord. Why? Because there are many great things we want to praise the Lord for, right? In our life, throughout the week, or even in the past, we just cannot stop praising God. Do you praise God that you're here in Canada? Every day? Every time the snow falls? When the snow falls, do you complain or do you praise God? Wow, snow. I remember the first time we were here, someone said, you will appreciate snow when you see those icicles clinging at the boughs and leaves of the evergreens. And truly, I remember that time. They would say, oh, wow, yeah, that's so beautiful. And we do not have that back in the Philippines because we don't have snow. So whenever there's snow, you should be thankful. Do you? I thank God. Or do you complain? So someone had said, you know what? Marriage is like, the first drop of snow is like honeymoon stage in marriage. The first 3 years, you would appreciate snow. And like in the first 3 years of honeymoon stage of married life. And then after 3 years, you just don't like snow. I don't know about that, but when we praise the Lord gladly and thankfully, we encourage each other. So we come very early. We don't want to miss the congregational singing of praise to the Lord because we sang to the Lord. We praise, we thank Him, Lord. That is one participation we can do when we participate in the congregational singing. But if you miss that congregational singing, then you miss singing for the Lord. Worship of God as congregation is more meaningful when we personally internalize the good work of Christ in our life. If we internalize it, when we remember it, when we think of all the good things that God has done in our life, we want to praise Him. We want to sing with His people. We want to encourage others. Seek inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And you will be glad you arrive early. To value every part of the service, this is also transformational work of Christ in our life. So if you are coming early, you know God is transforming you. May the Lord inspire us so that praises and gratitude from our hearts be frequently released with gladness, not just internalizing it and keeping it to ourselves, but we would like to release it in praise and worship and encourage other believers. Let's read again verse 27 of our passage. Are you pledged, O woman? Do not be released. Are you free from such a commitment? Do not look for a wife. How do you interpret this? Is this a command from the Lord? What do you say? Is it a command for the Lord not to seek to be released? Apostle Paul said earlier, I gave a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Does it mean that Apostle Paul's these are just his personal opinion? When he said, I give a judgment, if you can accept that Apostle Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit. His judgment, his idea, has been inspired by the Lord. The advices that Apostle Paul gave had its origin from the Lord. It's not just his personal opinion. How strong can you accept that? That it's not just his personal opinion, that his advice originated from the Lord. Thus the Lord forbid anyone who choose to be married or choose to be single. Does the Lord forbid you if you choose to be married, if you choose to be single? Now, therefore, to remain single or to all their life, that should be their personal decision. To be married, that should be their personal decision. No one should be forced to decide with social status, which social status they would prefer to have, to be single or to be married. They are all good in the eyes of the Lord. But when we decide, we pray, is this good for me? Is it good for me to remain single? Is it good for me, Lord, to be married? Pray to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. Let's reflect what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. How do you strongly accept that you are God's handiwork? You are God's project. If you are God's project, if we are God's project, then we should allow the Lord to do whatever he wishes us to do in our life, not insisting what we wish to do, what we wish to be. So doing good work while married or doing good work while single, God prepared for us in advance. He prepared already what we should do. Our personal purpose could be practical needs when we trusted Christ. When we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, the first practical need that we might be thinking is to be saved from eternal damnation. And then we continue to trust in the Lord because we personally need his help practically in everything we need in our life. But don't you know, have you heard that from eternity, before the beginning of time, the Lord had already planned, he had already designed the good work he deemed as best situation for you and me. A situation we should, which is best for us. The Lord had designed that. Can you believe that? Can you sincerely accept that reality? Search your hearts now. Search your mind. Try not to deceive yourself with human logic. The pros and cons. Can you agree that the Lord has designed the most wonderful life you can ever have? Can you accept that? If you accept that strongly, then you prioritize the Lord. Because if we ignore the Lord, then we miss that wonderful life that the Lord designed for us. If we truly believe that the Lord had designed that wonderful life, most beautiful life we can ever experience, then we need to seek the guidance of the Lord. Did God design for you to be married? Did God design for you to be single? You cannot stop it. What God has designed, what God has planned, he will do it. But if we resist, it is when we sense that resentment deep inside. If by faith we believe that we are God's handiwork, if by faith we believe that we are God's project, it is necessary that we should follow the path he designed for us. Is this the path you want me to follow, Lord? Guide me. Guide the practical steps that I should take, the plans I should make. Give me, Lord. Give me clear vision. Ask the Lord. By faith in Christ, we do good works that God prepared in advance for us to do, even in situations we didn't dream of, because plans of God, sometimes we just cannot conceptualize it, the ways of God. But ask for the Lord to guide every step of the way, even when we make mistakes. Those mistakes, the Lord would use it also for us to strengthen us. Did God design for you to be successful in your country of origin? Or did God design for you to be successful in the place where you were born? Or did God design for you to migrate and be successful? What do you think? Or did God design for you to be exiled from your country of origin? The Israelites did not plan to be exiled, but God designed it that they will be exiled because they disobeyed the Lord. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, he ordered to select a young man of noble birth to serve in the palace. Why noble birth? Because those who are born in nobility, they have traditions or culture, the practice or the etiquette in the palace, and they understand that, they can easily understand that, they can easily conceptualize that. The way they wear their clothes, the way they eat, or they may communicate to dignitaries. This time, they don't understand that. Many young people don't understand the etiquette of talking to dignitaries because they are so entitled. Do you have that understanding that when a dignified person stand before you, you are supposed to stand and not just sit down when you are talking with the person? Many young people, they would just talk at their back. They would turn their back and talk to the person. Why? Because they saw that in the movies. I know that. I understand. I did that before when I was young. I saw a movie where the star in the movie would just speak, not speak directly to the dignitary. And I did that to my father. My father was talking the table. I stand up and go and drink my water while my father was talking, and he was very furious. It was disrespectful to him to stand while he was talking. And we do that, right? We are so disrespectful, we don't know. This is why when Nebuchadnezzar said, select young men of noble birth, those young men of noble birth understand the protocols in the palace. Now let us reflect what it narrated in Daniel chapter 1, verse 6 to 9. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names, Daniel named Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God has caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. When Daniel resolved not to defile himself, It also showed he did not even want to use the name given him. Unlike Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their name were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Whereas Daniel, he was given Belteshazzar, he just used the name Daniel. Eventually, Daniel and his friend became prominent officials in Babylon. They were successful in Babylon. Before the exile, their names was not known in Israel. Nobody talked about them. Can you accept that it was God's plan for Daniel and his friends to be exiled in Babylon so that they would be successful? Can you accept that? In Babylon, their names were prominent. In Israel, they were not prominent. Someone said, if you are simply ordinary person, you are not rich, you do not have much connection in the politics, you won't succeed in your place of birth. Going abroad is the better option for you. Daniel and friends, they were born of noble birth. And yet, they have relatives who were more prominent in Israel. And for surely, if they stayed in Jerusalem, in Israel, they would not be successful. They would just be ordinary, although they were born of noble birth. But God brought them to Babylon, and they became successful. God allowed them to be exiled for their success. God allowed you to migrate, to experience what you have right now. Together, let's reflect what King David prayed in Psalm 25, verse 4 to 5. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your path. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Pray for godly wisdom. If God designed you to remain in the same situation, or you go abroad, go somewhere else, pray. Ask the Lord for right decision, firm decision. King David could have remained a shepherd. He did not complain about being a shepherd, but he chose to obey the Lord. He trusted that godly path is the best life he could ever experience. If I follow the Lord, being a shepherd, I would be fine. If you read through the Psalms, especially Psalm 23, he implied that he enjoyed being a shepherd. When no soldier from Israel was willing to face the giant Goliath, David grabbed that opportunity to prove his faith in the Lord. Do I really trust the Lord? He faced Goliath. Can you accept that God gave David the courage? God himself gave David that courage and the ability to defeat the giant Goliath. He did not listen to the suggestion, you are just a young boy. Goliath is a veteran warrior from his youth. You did not even go to war. How can you beat that giant Goliath? Now, King Saul even said, okay, where my armor, so that you can face him safely. He tried, used the armor of King Saul, but he was not comfortable using. Imagine that, think about that. King Saul was so scared with that armor he had. He was scared in facing Goliath, and yet he wanted David to use his armor so that David would face Goliath and be successful. That's not logical, right? You try to help David defeat Goliath, and yet you yourself is scared. That's not good understanding. Well, how about Daniel and his friend? Daniel resolved to follow the ways of the Lord. Daniel hoped that the Lord had great plan for him. He did not defile himself, even with royal food and wine. So does royal food and wine? No. Maybe he was thinking, I tasted that before. But he did not want to defile himself. And his testimony, when he did that, when he resolved not to defile himself, his testimony encouraged his friend, and his friend followed his practice of faith in the Lord. The way we practice our faith in the Lord would encourage others. Others may have been shaken. We do not know. Maybe they are smiling, but we don't know they have problems. Everyone around us is observing us. Here at church, people are observing us. As in the community, people are observing us. In your school, in your work, people are observing us. Wherever there is a person around you, someone is observing you. God has great purpose for each of us. What is the purpose of God for you? Have you discovered it? The Lord also designed a series of challenges in our life. It may help us grow in our faith. So be attentive when opportunity comes. When there is struggle, what's your first reaction? Complain? It should be, Lord, what is this opportunity for me? Ask the Lord, give me wisdom. Pray for stronger faith in the Lord. Ask the Lord for godly wisdom before you reconsider your best option. Sometimes situations that are not normally, usually happen in our daily activities, it could be those situations God wants us to experience much of His grace. So best pray for godly wisdom and reconsider your best option. Let's read again verse 28 of our passage. But if you marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life. And I want to spare you this. If you wish to remain a virgin, or if you wish to be married, both choices, they are acceptable to God. The virgin has freedom to follow wherever the Lord leads him. He is not concerned of leaving behind wife or children. Well, it's possible that those who wish to be married had seriously considered what King Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 to 11. And it says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And this is true. Experience. It may not happen to you, but you may have observed your neighbor. Your neighbor, both of them were working, and then one got sick, and the spouse take care of the spouse who got sick. It's real. No matter what social status we prefer, to remain single, to be married, there will always be challenges. There will be difficult concerns to be encountered somehow. Being a single, they have problem. Being married, they have problem. But Apostle Paul warned married people against possible troubles in life. Likewise, he wanted to spare the virgins from many troubles of many of married people. When Apostle wrote that he wanted to spare virgins from troubles in this life that married people face, was it based from his personal experience? Can you scroll back to verse 28 of our passage? Look at that. If you do marry, you have not sinned. And if virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who will marry will face many troubles in this life. And I want to spare you this. Now, where did Apostle Paul get that idea that married couples face many trouble in this life? Where? Did he just imply that he was talking from personal experience? If he was talking from personal experience, he implied that he was previously married. So he personally experienced those troubles of married people. This is not outright that Paul was saying, he did not outrightly say that I was married, but he implied that he was married. So he warned and he wanted to spare the virgins. The virgins, I want to spare you this. To spare you from the troubles of married. Well, the advancement of technology, especially social media, may have helped many people to express their disappointment. Even married couples, they are disappointed with their spouses. And you have just... somebody might have uploaded in your Facebook account where a wife was complaining, a mother is complaining, a father is complaining about their role as father, as mother, as wife or husband. Others use this comic strip to illustrate and make their personal trouble more humorous. If people can identify. There was this one comic strip featured an old man, Earl, and an old woman, Opal. Have you heard of those names? Earl and Opal. Many household wives attend to almost household works. The same is true with the old woman, Opal. But she told her old man, Earl, today would be a good day for you to clean up the garage. And Earl answered, that's a lot of work. And Opal said, whether a job is big or small, do it right or not at all. And Earl said, I love that coat. Good. I hope it helps, Opal said. Oh, it does. What do you think would happen next? Of course. Did Earl go and clean up the garage? Yeah, you're right. You're watching the screen. Earl did not choose to clean up the garage, that's all. He took his pillow and rested on the sofa and thankfully said to himself, I never realized I had a choice. What moral lesson can we learn here? Do not give another option to a lazy individual. Just say, do this, and no other option. And that is just one of the many troubles of married people. Just one of the many troubles of married couples. One is working, another is lazing, relaxing. Mother said, I'm glad I only have one child. Imagine if I have a dozen children. That would be so much work on my part. Truly, married life is very challenging. Can you accept that God allows troubles in life for us to practice faith in Him? Whether to be single or to be married. and experience more of His grace? Remember that greatness does not come from easy life. If your life is very easy, you are just ordinary. You are just ordinary. If you are thinking of easy life, you are thinking ordinary life. Great love and care of God is revealed during difficult times. Nevertheless, whatever we choose in life, if we choose to remain married, or remain single, or to be married, life on earth will always have trouble. Someone said, life on earth is more of sorrow than laughter. Just think of your day. Just try for a week and observe how many times you would smile and how many times you would frown or feel sad throughout the week. Have you personally observed that in your life? But reflect what it reminds us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 to 20. Let's read meditatively. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you wish a life filled with singing and thankfulness of the heart? Do you wish your heart to be filled with gladness always instead of sorrow? Do you wish that? You know the secret? Do you know the secret? Go back to verse 18. Be filled with the Spirit. That's the secret. When it says, scroll down again, I'm sorry. When it says, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, that's expression of gladness from the heart. It's not, we are not commanded to do it. We are expected to do it when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are not commanded to force ourselves to sing and make music. I need to sing, I need to make music. And then, if you force that, you would be singing, I'm so glad I'm a part, and yet your face is very lonely. That is forcing. Instead, if you say, I'm so glad, and you're smiling, even if nobody's looking at you, you know that you sense it from deep inside. Secret of life filled with singing and thankfulness is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the secret. You want that? The Holy Spirit produces what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So when you sense that negative attitude in your heart, ask the Lord, Lord, I don't like this. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Just pause and ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit until you sense that joy, until you sense that peace. Many times you don't like your boss to bossing you around. Is there a word like that? Is it right? The boss is bossing around, bullying you around, something like that. You don't like it and you feel bad, but can you still have that joyful peace while others are trying to boost you around? I believe so. The feeling of the Holy Spirit doesn't depend on situation. He just fills us. And we do not, that is why the peace from God surpasses understanding. We just cannot explain it. Why do we sense so joyful, glad, when there's a lot of problem? We cannot explain that. That is why it surpasses understanding, the peace of God. But you have that peace, and you like that. You like that. So even when everyone around you are very slow, for mothers, in doing their chores, you are not bothered because your heart is filled with patience, joyful peace. Don't ask the Lord, Lord, give me patience. No, don't. He would rather give you the Holy Spirit so that not only patience, you have also joy. Even when you are tired, perspiring, you are whistling in song or just singing song. Because the Holy Spirit Himself enables you. You are not trying to force yourself. And you will be kind even to oblivious individuals. What do you think? As we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are reminded of God's great love. While we were still sinners, we were still rebellious to Him, God demonstrated His love for us. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, die on the cross, so that by faith in Him, we are freed from the influence of sin. The sin influenced us to be resentful, not joyful. Or the sin influenced us to procrastinate, to be lazy. That is not the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is to have that love. And may the Lord fill us always with His Holy Spirit for us to love Him, to follow His ways, to have gladness, to have peace, to have patience in everything we do. Even now, think about some of us may be sad that one of our dear nanay, Lina, passed away. But it should be, we are sad because we miss him. But there should be gladness because knowing that she is freed from pain eternally. Every time she comes, she in winter, she would say, oh, my knees. Because she had surgery in his foot and she has steel or metal in his feet that caused her to feel that pain when it's cold. But now she's with the Lord, singing with the angels, praising God for the wonderful life she had. How about us? Are we confident that one day when the Lord take us home, we will be with Him? The Lord Jesus was crucified, and the Lord took our sins, crucified with Jesus, and that's symbolized in the bread. The Lord Jesus was tortured, punished, shed blood. The blood He shed on the cross washed away our sins so that before God we are blameless. How strong do you believe that before God you are now blameless? You are righteous.